You're listening to KEXP at 90.3 FM in Seattle, and you can find us online at kexp.org. Today, streaming live video online. I'm Cheryl Waters. I'm so excited to have Frightened Rabbit live in studio with us today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us in your beautiful new home.
It's so wonderful always to have you live on air, and we are so happy you're finally here to see our new home, which you helped build. Thank you.
No, personally, I lead a lot of the brickwork here. I needed a job in between albums, so...
Well, we've been excited to be a part of your career since the very beginning, and Painting of a Panic Attack, a gorgeous new album. And you're going to play songs all from the new record today?
We are.
Excellent. Why don't you start it right now?
All right, this is called Get Out.
Live on KEXP. We're streaming live video right now at kexp.org, the magnificent new album called Painting of a Panic Attack, and we're so lucky to have them playing songs from that today live on KEXP.
This next one is called Woke Up Hurting. Thank you.
through the day, sneak between the houses I have made. Run the sacred rivers up my sleeve, pills by my fifth lemonade. And as the hours slow down, all clock out with the crack of the daily grind. I'm in a back street, coming down. I'll wait.
To KEXP 90.3 FM in Seattle. We're streaming live video today at kexp.org. Our good friends Frightened Rabbit have joined us live in studio today. Again, it's so great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
We play you so frequently on KEXP that it just feels like no time has gone by since I've seen you in the studio, but it's been about 3 years since we've had the band live on air.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, we took a while. This record, you know, had some obstacles in its way, you know, towards completion. So yeah, it took us, I mean, we didn't really even start writing it until about midway through 2014 anyway. So after that, it was like a year and a half.
Well, I know when Pedestrian Verse came out, you just played your hearts out. And by the end of it, I know you were all exhausted. Scott, we had you by. We know you moved to L.A. and
That's right.
Came by about a year and a half ago with your beautiful Al John project. But I'm curious what the rest of the band did. Did you just go back to Scotland and take a long winter's nap? Or what was everyone up to?
I personally was training for a bike ride. I did a big, long bike ride. About a year and a half ago.
I heard about that, like 1,000 miles around the UK.
Yeah, it was about that, yeah.
That must take a bit of training.
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah. So Scott's solo album was a blessing for that reason. So yeah, that's what I was doing. Don't know the rest. Well, Andy and Si worked on the Owl John record, so.
That's right. Scott was on tour solo for that, but
yeah.
You had these guys backing you up on that beautiful record.
It's definitely solo in inverted commas there. So, you know, we took ourselves off to a small island off the coast of Scotland and for 2 weeks and kind of just, I guess sort of it was, the idea was to reconnect with something that can get lost if you tour hard and the band sort of starts to feel like some sort of business. And we wanted to start make music for the original reason again, you know, going back many years to when you first start.
Well, I think it's fair when you've been doing this as long as you have, you can take a step back and reassess and take a break. And I know that you kind of mix things up on this record. And one of the obvious reasons is because you wrote it not living in the same place. And I'm wondering how that changed things.
Well, it's funny because, you know, it takes a little getting used to. I was living in Los Angeles. I was still returning to the UK to do some sessions as a group. But bizarrely, whenever we were doing work over email, It's quite easy to, in an email, maybe it's easier to say something more frankly than you might if someone was stood right in front of you and you don't want to sort of, you know, upset anyone. And so it actually opened up a pretty reasonable stream of communication. But it took a little while for us to get there and to understand how this was going to work. But these guys were all working away in Glasgow without me anyway, you know, and I was doing whatever I was doing in Los Angeles, driving and stuff.
I heard you had to kind of become a little bit conversant on music and computers, stuff that Andy had done before.
I did, yeah, yeah. I kind of jumped right into that because I didn't have a choice. I was wanting to make demos. I was also wanting to make demos that weren't just me in a, you know, recording myself an acoustic guitar and my phone. I wanted to make something more expansive, so I got really into some music software for the first time in my life since I've, you know, kind of messed around with an old Tascam thing back in the day. I started using the laptop in it, and it opened up a lot. I think you can hear it. A lot of those sounds that we came up with in those demos kind of made it onto the record. We were just like, well, it's not broke, so we'll just pull this over.
Well, it's interesting. I know there were some electronic sounds on Al John, but I read so much before I even heard a song from the new album about how you were really like using electronics, and I really thought you might come out with a dance record or something. Yeah. And then when I finally heard it, it's definitely still a Frightened Rabbit album, but you're definitely playing with some new sounds on here.
Yeah.
And I know that Aaron Dessner produced this album, and I know you he all did. Are huge fans of The National. And I'm curious if those sounds came from the band or partially from Aaron or a combination?
Aaron was keen. I mean, we were already kind of going down this path when, by the time we met with Aaron, we were sort of forcing ourselves away from perhaps something that we felt. I think we felt like we'd reached a conclusion of sorts with Pedestrian Verse. You know, that was the guitar record maybe we'd been seeking to make for the, you know, 10 years previous. And then and so the sort of the door was wide open, and Aaron kind of understood that as someone who has listened to our music throughout, you know, over the course of the past few years. He was like, well, you know, you don't need to do that same old shtick, and you should look forward. And he kind of, you know, there were times where I was desperate to put a big guitar in a chorus and he wouldn't let me. And he kind of was a really natural part of that progression. And I think it's a natural progression. You know, we didn't want to go make Kid A. Or a national album. I mean, there's elements of both of those things in there, but I think you can't ignore what your band has come to mean, I suppose. And yeah.
I'm sort of, it's kind of delightful to hear how that process was working with him, because he's such a gentle, kind of soft-spoken person, mm-hmm. and I wondered if he sort of pushed you to do things, and it sounds like he did push you in a new direction at times.
Yeah, gently and subtly, he did. And he was, I mean, he was just aware of some of the habits that we'd gotten into, and just tried to slowly steer us away from them. Aaron's works quite mysteriously. I don't think any of us quite understood what he was doing a lot of the time until the last couple of days. It's like, you kind of saw this happening all along.
That's interesting. Actually, I'm glad you said that, because I read something about that and I wanted to ask you that, because of the way you wrote the album and then had to come together, I heard that you felt that you didn't even know what it was going to sound like until it was done. There wasn't a lot of rehearsing and getting the songs ready right in the studio. Was that different for you?
It was different from the last album. I mean, we rehearsed those songs a lot and played the bones of that album live together in a room. That was impossible this time because we weren't together. And but, you know, Aaron was quite keen to embrace that. And I think the way that he tends to make music is explores almost every possibility the song can have before rejecting 80% of it and then letting it, you know. He's not, he layers and layers and then just flushes out. But during midway through the process, we're all kind of like, I think he has a roadmap in his head, but it's difficult to see that. And then all of a sudden, this album sort of revealed itself. I'm not exaggerating when I say it was like the second to last day when I just sort of felt it all coming together. It was sort of magic.
That sounds like a great way to do it.
Oh, no, that made for a very stressful month, though. I went to the park and cried about how terrible it was halfway through.
Oh, no.
I did. I cried.
I'd love to talk about the lyrics. They're so important to Frightened Rabbit albums and songs. And what's interesting is that you were writing these songs when you were living in sunny Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I know that there was some turmoil in that time for you. And you were sort of isolated a lot, just you and your girlfriend. You spent a lot of time alone. And so you can kind of feel a darkness and isolation in these songs.
Yeah, you can take the boy out of Scotland. But, you know, I think, yeah, a lot of people did joke about how this is like they were expecting this to be after I moved, like a West Coast jangly, harmony-driven birds record or something, and it didn't turn out that way. I think I actually found, yeah, like you said, I found such a large city to be quite isolating, and ultimately failed at living there. But I think I learned something about myself and what I look for in my, you know, in my kind of surroundings and how I sort of yearn for a sense of community. And so that it just wasn't forthcoming there. It's not the fault of Los Angeles either. It's just, I think you need, that city needs to serve you a little more than it was for me.
Well, that's a nice thing to come to realize. And now yeah. You're back home in Scotland, living with Grant.
thanks for that. Yeah.
We're live in the KEXP studios with Frightened Rabbit. We're streaming live video right now at kexp.org, the new album, Painting of a Panic Attack. It's so beautiful. Great job, guys. Love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
A couple more songs from that?
Yeah, this is called I Wish I Was Sober.
Oh,
Frightened Rabbit live on KEXP. They're coming back through the Seattle area in May, playing at Sasquatch Memorial Day weekend. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, we're looking. We've never been to that place. The photographs look insanely beautiful.
Oh, I really can't oversell it. You are gonna love it.
Very excited.
Oh, I'm really excited for you now.
It's great. We got our pals, the Twilight Sad, there. It's going to be wonderful.
I know. My mind's going to explode. The lineup's just crazy this year. As always, actually. It's a great festival. Can't wait to see you out there.
We have one other song we're going to play. This is called Break. If you guys are ready for it.
I'm ready.
Fantastic.
Rabbit live on KEXP. That sounded so wonderful. Thank you for making a special trip here to play live on KEXP.
Anytime.
And you're headed down to Portland, a sold-out show at the Wonder Ballroom tonight.
We're going to Portland. The show's not till Thursday.
Oh, yeah. That's.
But, yeah, there might still be tickets left if you would like them.
Okay. You know, if you wander around out front, you never know what magic can happen. And we'll see you again in May at Sasquatch.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much. Painting of a Panic Attack, the new album from Frightened Rabbit. You've got it tuned to KEXP Seattle.